We're urged to stay active all through our lives, to stay in motion and stay in as healthy as possible as we age. But a long hike on the Pacific Crest Trail? Yes. The person answering yes has always been a dedicated walker, but she got even more dedicated in retirement. Now, Dami Rolsey takes long distance hikes, and convinces other people her age to take up the cause and the practice. Dami lives in the Ashland area and is the author of the book Walking Gone Wild, How to Lose Your Age on the Trail. And she joins me in the studio. Welcome to Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey, and thank you so much for having me today.
So I see you were born in the Netherlands. You've traveled a lot, including a few longer walks in the Himalayas, retired from work in the mental health field, retired as a or certified as a life coach, and you blog about hiking a lot.
I do.
What I see from the dedication of the book that you got your training in getting outdoors pretty young.
Yes. When you grow up in Holland and your parents don't have a car, you walk.
Is that what the situation was?
Yes.
But walk where? It sounds like these were early morning walks, some of them too.
Well, my dad was an athlete and an outdoors person. So yes, he would get us up, the older ones, in a sort of sneaky way and said, "Let's go have an adventure."
And then
we would walk the dunes, mm-hmm. and when the dew was still wet, and then we'd end up at some bakery or something like that.
Okay, so there was a payoff at the end,
yes.
In addition to the walk itself. But after a while, did the payoff at the bakery not have to happen?
No, walking was just a regular thing that happened. Every Sunday, the family goes walking. No ifs or buts about it.
Mm-hmm. But you were telling me just before we got on about your walk in the Himalayas was in your 20s, is that right?
Yeah, an American turned me on to backpacking and walking.
And so was it the kind of thing you fell in love with at that time, or did you put it off as something to do in the future?
Well, yeah, I fell in love with it. It was an incredible experience. It was a life-changing experience. But it wasn't until I moved to the West Coast, and had the opportunity to explore hiking in the mountains again. There are no mountains in Holland.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's called the Netherlands for a reason. It's very low. So in addition to having the opportunity to walk on the West Coast, though, I understand from your book that you formed a fairly quick impression of life in America and how little walking seems to be part of the culture.
Yeah, and I joined the culture and had to learn to drive and use a car, and I lived in the country and went everywhere by car and didn't walk very much in those years.
You didn't even walk that very much?
No.
So you got into the car culture yourself?
Yep.
All right, so when you're walking, I mean, it sounds like this is more than physical health for you. It's a whole package.
Yeah, it is. And I discovered that in a way much later when I went for a walk again in the Himalayas, when my life was in a very difficult period, when my husband became very ill and I lost him as a partner, basically, and I didn't know how to approach things. So I went for a walk, and I went back to the Himalayas, where I had, you know, in my earlier years, in my 20s, had some pretty deep spiritual experiences. And I basically wanted to walk away from life here. So that's what I went and did. And through connections, I ended up in Ladakh, and I hiked into a roadless area for 12 days, and that's an adventure that will be in my next book.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I kind of want to hear about it now, but we'll talk about this one. So these long walks were not a regular thing for you.
No.
Are they more regular now? I mean, how much more are you walking now than you used to, for example?
Oh, well, now I do 200 to 400 miles in the summer from place to place. And sometimes it's broken up in week-long walks. I'm going for a three-week one now into the Sierras. And sometimes it's 4 weeks. Depends on where I'm going. And I believe for me, for my health, and what I call my yearly reboot, going for at least 2 weeks is sort of minimal to do that.
How long for minimal?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. So it's got to be 2 weeks or more to get the real effects.
Yeah, there's something that happens after 5 days or, you know, it happens at 3 days, it happens at 5 days, but then when you go longer, you really detach from the rest of the world and physically things change. I always come back with better eyesight and my cognition is better, and there's research has been done to show that. And they've done it at those intervals as well, that the longer you're out there, and I'm not saying long like months, but periods of a week or 2 weeks, it improves your cognition.
The cognition I've certainly heard about before, but the sharpening of the eyesight, have you checked that with anybody?
No, I haven't, but I just know that I can read without my readers.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. But so,
and it doesn't last. As soon as I start looking at screens again after a couple of weeks, I'm back to my readers.
Ah, okay. So there's where some of the downfall is when we get back to civilization. Dami Rolsey is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, lives in Ashland, has written a book called Walking Gone Wild, How to Lose Your Age on the Trail. Maybe this is something you've thought about doing. Well, we already have a person who can answer your questions about how to get started. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join the conversation by phone. Or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So in addition to the improved cognition from being out there and improved eyesight from being away from screens, can you describe? Is it even possible to describe this, the blissful place? I assume it's blissful that you get to.
Right. The other part of losing your age is losing a sense of your age. And I think that when you don't walk, when you aren't in motion and know that you can do it, an insecurity sets in, and especially when we age. And I think I remember this morning, I have to do the walking to bring back the body memory that I actually am an active, vital person. And so it becomes even more important as you're older. When you're young, you don't believe that you will lose your strength or that you will lose your ability. And as that sets in after 55, 60, 70, I can start feeling it. But as soon as I walked up here, I feel revitalized and I feel in touch with my environment. I'm part of this world. And when you go for a long hike, the connection in nature, that's what's really an important thing. It's like a long meditation. And so you go deep inside yourself and connect with the world around you in a way that we don't get in our daily life.
I get what you're saying, though, about the fact that when you're younger, you know you still have the physical capability there. When you get older, you don't. And if you don't use it, then I can see how you get to this point of like, well, I'm not sure I can do that anymore.
Yes, literally. Literally. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Truly. Okay. So you have to be careful where you're heading, though. I mean, you want to make sure you don't get a too blissful place where you don't pay attention to the surroundings, though, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And that has happened to me as well.
That was the next question. Okay. So I noticed there is a pretty good section of the book about the things to bring with you, and first aid kit is one of them. But what are some of the other, the real basic things you need to have, even for a day hike, for example?
Well, I recommend, especially as you age, to bring hiking poles. Balance becomes an issue, and on one of my hikes when I wasn't using them and had my thumbs in my belt and I was just like thinking about other trips to take, and I just stumbled over a small thing flat on my face. There's no way you stop yourself at that point. Whereas maybe when I was 30, I could have done that. So hiking poles are an important part. And it isn't just for older people. And also because hiking poles also strengthen your arms and help you move faster and easier, and they support you when you go downhill. And those knees that a lot of people complain about, they take the weight of your knees. So it's a real technical tool.
Especially on the downhills, I find the knees are really taking on it. So
that's a tool. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, you know, you have your basics of water, some extra food, some extra clothing. You never know what can happen when you go out in nature. You may just sprain your ankle and have to sit there for a while, so before help comes. And it's important to have some way of contacting the outside world, which most people don't bring. They think their phone will do it, but phones don't always have reception. So,
which is a major point we've talked with some other hikers about, that if you've gotten really used to having maps and everything else in your phone, bear in mind the fact that you won't necessarily have phone service out where you're going.
Right.
So then what kind of communication device to get a hold of the outside world?
Well, besides having a hard copy map so you can see where you are and maybe get out, but the other ones that are like GPS devices that will connect with a satellite and you can push the button for help, which I've never had to do. But I use it as a means to contact my family on an everyday basis so they know I'm okay.
Dami Rolsey, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is called Walking Gone Wild, How to Lose Your Age on the Trail, a book about getting up and getting going later in life and with some cautions, obviously. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Ask some questions of Dami about it or share some stories of your own about days on the trail and things you picked up as the years went by. 800-838-3760. If you'd like to join the conversation by phone, our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Dami, is the book geared more toward women than men?
Yes, it is. Although it applies to men, but men tend to want to figure things out for themselves. They're not as groupie-minded. And so they think, I know this. I can do this.
I want to ask for directions.
That sort of thing. Yes. It's just the type of person they are. But there are some – I have directed it at women because there are so many women, older women, who live alone, who you know, have to fend for themselves, and this will bring a confidence to us that spreads out in the rest of your life. You know, you have a sense that you can do things, and women often don't feel that way when they don't have a partner or when they've lost their partner. And losses are a reality of aging. And so to be able to—
Particularly for women because of the longer life expectancy.
Yes, exactly. And to be able to make yourself happy, to have a means that doesn't depend on people necessarily, to make yourself happy is an incredible tool. If I feel down or depressed, I know going for a walk, just going for a walk will change my mood. And it's a good one to have.
Do you hike with a group of women or do you generally hike alone or what's your usual approach?
I do it all. I hike with women to encourage them and also for, you know, social connection. It's a very different experience when you walk and talk than when you're hiking alone and you're basically communing with nature.
Are there times you'd really prefer to be alone?
Yes, yes. I also find that, you know, I walk in cities, I walk when I travel, I see more when I walk alone. I take pictures, I meet people, I make connections. So it all depends what you want to get out of it for today.
Which brings me to the question, if somebody is inspired by this, but they don't think they can find the time or the energy for bigger hikes, is walking itself good enough?
Walking itself is good enough. You don't have to do what I do at all. You know, the recommended amount of steps is 10,000 steps a day is what they say. I think moving throughout your day is really what I say to people. Get up every half hour. Activate your G-force. I mean, this is, you know, they at NASA, they studied people's longevity. Mm-hmm. And you have to get your body moving. No big walk. Just get it moving. And squash your cells, your DNA is what I say, by doing some movement. That's all. All you need to do.
We've heard a bunch of times lately that that sitting is the new smoking. So if you're sitting in your tush for hours at a time, not a great thing for your health overall, which
you've got to raise your table here and stand up while you're doing this.
We do have stand-up desks in the newsroom. So, yes, that's one of the things we've
had. And I've gone through that, too, since I started writing the book. I mean, I stand or walk or move three-quarters of my day now. I see that you can increase that ability to do it.
And you look very healthy. I mean, if you pardon me making that observation, but you're proud of this. It seems like it. It is really, you've really done a lot for your own health at continuing to move.
Yeah, I feel alive and vital, and I've always been an energetic person, but not necessarily an upbeat person. And this really helps me with that.
Well, you write of walking with awareness, getting a person into a creative state of flow. Can you explain that?
Yeah. Walking, I discovered, actually, I did in the Himalayas, when you have to go so slow at that altitude that all you can do is pay attention to each step and each breath. It's like a meditation. So walking meditation. When all your senses are involved, when you walk in nature or in any environment, but by yourself, all your senses become activated. And that, if you pay attention, it's like, oh, I feel, I smell, I hear, I sense. That in itself brings a joy of, I am part of this, which when you're behind glass in a car, you don't get that.
No, you don't.
And I get that on my 20-minute walk here this morning. So that's the glow you get from me right now.
The idea though that your senses become more acute, and I mean we get all bound up in our own heads a lot, particularly in daily life when we're working all the time. And you mentioned that it takes about 2 weeks. Is that what you're sloughing off, that sense of like being in your head and not paying attention to what's around you so much as what's inside?
I think so. Although, like you said, where does that creativity come from? Well, creativity comes out of emptiness. So when you're not being stimulated by screens and people and noises and movies and all that kind of stuff, there's that emptiness that you encounter. And new ideas come forth. New thoughts come in on how you want to go forth in your life after you come back into the regular world. So that, I'm talking about that creativity. But also talk about the creativity that happens physically in your body when you're doing that. And so it builds new cells, and it actually, the anti-aging happens as it affects the telomeres, the DNA that start to decay as we get older, but it actually builds a protein that protects that. So there are some real physical things that happen. And in my life, I just had my bone density checked after a 4-year period, and my bone density had increased by 3.75%.
Which is unusual.
Totally unusual. Mm-hmm. You're glad if you stay the same. Mm-hmm. It had increased.
All right, so let's give some cautions here for people who are thinking about joining you. The book is called Walking Gone Wild, How to Lose Your Age on the Trail. You can join at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. The cautions about beginning hiking later in life. I mean, there are some things you should do before you grab the poles and just head right out the door, right?
Yeah, I think you should start with walking. And I make the distinction that hiking, you know, takes an effort that you're maybe not used to. So work up to walking 5 miles a day. If you can do that, then you're ready to go on hikes. I mean, some hikes can maybe be a 2-mile hike, but if there's climbing involved, uneven terrain, if your body isn't strong enough to deal with the unevenness, then you might sprain or strain something, and you come back saying, I can never do this. So start small. Start around your house. Start in the gym. Start, you know, getting your groceries, put them in a backpack, and walk them home.
Which brings me back to the story of you having your thumbs hooked into your belt and falling flat on your face. How big a backpack chased you down on that incident?
That was just a day pack.
Oh, just a day pack.
It wasn't mm-hmm. much weight.
So when you go on these long, I mean, how much are you carrying when you depart at first?
I tried to keep it under 30 pounds.
30 pounds, wow.
The recommended weight is 20 to 25 pounds of your body weight.
20 to 35
20 to 25%
of your body weight.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So wow, 30-pound pack. So that's not a lot of room for a lot of stuff.
Nope.
Water weighs a fair amount. You talked about bringing clothing. You're bringing a tent, I assume.
Yep, or a hammock. I love mm-hmm. my hammock. Mm-hmm. And some food and cooking. And right now I'm packed at 34 pounds for the Sierras because I'm going out for 9 days, and that's a lot of food. But I don't have to carry much water there. There's a lot of water on the way. So, but if you're in the desert and you have to carry 6 liters of water, that's a lot of weight.
That's a lot of weight, it is, yes. Yeah. So I mean, you avoid the desert in the summertime, I'm going to guess.
Oh, yeah.
So did it take you a while to get used to being out in the woods alone for such long periods? I mean, were there any hairy moments where you encountered animals or anything else that just made you feel, at least momentarily, unsafe?
You know, I feel more anxious about it before I go. As soon as my feet are on the ground and I've walked for a day, I go, oh, yeah, I belong here. So, no, that anxiety. And I belong to some Facebook groups where people talk about this. And everybody kind of chimes in and says, yeah, once you're out there, there's a natural feeling that happens like, this is okay. I can handle this. And like you said, your alertness, you're alert. I have encountered animals, but never close, never dangerous, except one time in the Himalayas when those yaks went at each other and they were only like 5 feet away from me, but you know, they weren't looking at me, so I could
good.
Walk
they were,
away.
They were taking care of each other, okay.
Yeah.
What's the most you've hiked in a day?
The most I've hiked is 22 miles, mm-hmm. and I actually did that last year. I didn't know I could still do that, but it was there was quite a bit of downhill, and it was wasn't at high elevation. So,
do you push the envelope on purpose sometimes, just to see what you're still capable of?
I push mostly because if I want to do certain stretches, I'm limited by resupply points. So I have to be able to carry a certain amount and walk a certain amount in each day to accomplish that
stretch. So you got to get to your resupply point, sure, to pick up the next round of food.
But not to say, let's see how much I can do. Mm-hmm. You know, I have lost that a long time ago.
Okay. There's no proving.
No proving, and which is kind of the joy of when you get older. You know, the young ones are all trying to do their 20 to 30 miles on that trail, and I go, I'm having a good time. 14, 15 is good enough for me. And that happens just naturally when I'm in a natural flow of what I need to do in a day.
We've talked about the things like the hiking poles and food and water and first aid. There's also a section on hygiene, though, and I had not thought about what happens in days away from showers. How do you stay clean enough to be healthy and not get rashes and rubs and
exactly,
things like that?
Exactly. So, yeah, hygiene is important. I try and find... We have to find water anyway to drink. So I try and camp by water, a river or a lake, but that's not always possible depending on where you go. And so daily bathing or at least wiping yourself down with, you know, you get a cup and you take the water away from the water source and you splash it on yourself and you wash yourself and you splash yourself again and you feel all refreshed. That's what you do every day.
So rinse a scrub and another rinse.
Yep.
Okay.
And it works just fine. You know, we are very attached to showers here, but you really don't need to shower every day to stay healthy or to smell okay.
Got time for one more question. Is there a favorite hike of yours, Dami?
People ask me that. And for me, it's a hike that is high up where I can see far. And so I would say, you know, the most beautiful hikes I've done have been in the Sierras where you're way high up with these, you know, blue-green lakes and rock formations that just make you wonder if there's an end to the sky, you know.
And that's where you're going next, right?
And that's where I'm going next.
Wow. The book is called Walking Gone Wild, How to Lose Your Age on the Trail, the work of Dami Rolsey, who lives in Ashland. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for having me and letting the word out to this whole listening area.
You bet.